2, verse number 6, and hold your place there. Colossians 2, verse number 6, and then Proverbs 28, verse 17. We'll look at two scriptures here this morning, and then we'll get into the message. Colossians 2, verse 6, Proverbs 28. We've been talking about always abounding. That's our theme for the year. We should be always be abounding. And then we've had a message where it says the Lord makes us to abound in grace in all things so that we can abound in the work of the Lord. And so he gives us what we need. Now, there are some blessings. There's a life of blessing when we abound in Christ, to superabound, kind of go jump in with both feet, so to speak, you know, be immersed in it. You know, there's a lot of folks who get their feet wet once in a while with the things of God, and then they wonder why it doesn't seem to be working the well as they say it should. And that's because you're not really trusting him, because you're sort of trusting him, but you're not really trusting him, because do you trust him, then give him everything. And we have a problem. We hold things back. Colossians 2:6 says, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, you're saved, so walk ye in him. There's a whole life. We're going to walk through life. There's a whole life we've got to walk through. You have Christ as your Savior. You realize that you're a sinner, for all sin and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And you realize that the wages of sin is death. That's separation from God for eternity. That's what we've earned for being sinners. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we can be saved. That means he paid for all our sins. Now, you get saved, that's good. You've received Christ Jesus, the Lord, as your Savior. But he says, now walk in him. Look at verse 7. How? Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, let's jump over there back to Proverbs 28, verse number 17. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. You could say it this way. He that tilleth the land shall have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have plenty of poverty. That's really the same. That's kind of what he's saying there. Got to play on words. A faithful man shall abound. Watch this. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. In other words, he's probably going to end up doing things he shouldn't be doing. I want to pray, and I'm going to talk about this topic here this morning, the blessings of abounding. The blessings of abounding. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that are in it. Lord, I pray that you'll teach us some things here. A lot of folks who kind of get their feet wet in the things of God, but they never really jump in with both feet. They never really abound in your word, never abound in your grace, never abound in your work. And then they wonder why they're not really seeing the blessings that they hear are possible. And Lord, we need to abound, not just sort of get in touch with you, but abound in our relationship, to super abound, to be in excess, to go all out. So Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see some things here this morning. I want to be a blessing. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move. Help me be a Spirit-filled speaker. And let each of us be Spirit-filled hearers for what your word has to say. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You know, there's a passage in the Bible, and we'll see in a little while. It says we reap what we sow. You plant what you plant. That's what you're gonna get. Now the fact is, you plant one grain of corn, you're gonna get a whole stalk of corn. But that stalk of corn is gonna have several ears on it. So you could say this: the more you get more than what you sow. You always reap more than you sow. Frankly, watch this. The more we sow, the more we reap. If you plant 1 acre of ground, you're going to get 1 acre's worth of harvest. You plant 2 acres of ground, you're going to, this is deep stuff here, right? And then you're going to get 2 acres worth of harvest. If we abound in our sowing, we just are going at it full force. We're abounding in our sowing, then we will abound in our reaping. Make sense? Now watch this. The more right things and good things that we sow, the more right things and good things that we will reap. The more wrong things that we sow, the more wrong things we're going to reap. Now that's just, we want to pretend that's not the truth, but it's just the way it is. And that's not only in farming, but that's in life. There are many things that people abound in. You could say that they're consumed with it. These can be things that we go to sleep thinking about, and then we dream about, and then we wake up still thinking about it. Some may call it obsession. Our lives are immersed in it. I'm not against hobbies. I grew up with a dad who had all kinds of hobbies. But hobbies can get out of control. However, once you've sown all the time and energy and finances into this hobby you are abounding in, what will you have? What will you reap for your time and your energy and your finances? Will those things carry you through the difficult times? You know, we get ourselves lost in all kinds of things these days. We abound in them. But are they really what is going to get us through the tough times? Have you ever heard the old saying, he that dies with the most toys wins? Well, he that dies with the most toys is still dead. And what do we win? And was it worth it? And we can apply this to most anything. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I guess my question is, what are you abounding in? What are you abounding in? Number one, you have Jesus as your Savior, so I'm going to ask you to sow to the relationship that you have with Him. In other words, it says walk with Him. You know, it's kind of like getting married. You know, my sister is a CPA, and so she does everybody's books and all those kind of things. She had this doctor down toward Baltimore. That's, she lives down in Maryland. That she did his books for him. And he was married to a lady, and they were very well off, and they had a house in Baltimore and one in Texas. And the fact is, the wife liked living in Texas. The man had his practice in Baltimore. So she lived in Texas, and he lived in Baltimore, and every other weekend, they would travel back and forth to see each other. Now, that's really not much of a marriage. The Bible says that we're going to keep her and be with her. You know, we're going to cohabitate. We're going to be in the same house. You know, I mean, that's why you got married, I thought. But sometimes people get married for different decisions, for different reasons. But listen, we have Jesus as our Savior. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, and He's your Savior. Well, now what we need to do is to invest. Make good use of that relationship. You could say we're going to sow to it. We've got the land. We've got something to hold the seed. Now let's sow the seed. Let's see what we can get out of it. And Colossians 2:6 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. In other words, take full advantage of having a relationship with the Lord and being his child. We're his child when we receive Christ as our Savior. But a lot of people, they just live as if he doesn't exist. They make the decisions without checking in with him. Listen, trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So he's not directing my paths. You're not acknowledging him. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, he's not ordering my steps. That's kind of plain. If the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, then maybe you need to make sure that you're good. I don't mean to be mean here. Well, I'm good compared to everybody else. I'm not talking about compared to everybody else. I'm talking about, the Lord says all of sin to come short of the glory of God. Not the glory of the preacher, the glory of the kid next door or anything like that. Or the ones I know, my friends. It's not talking about being compared to them. It's talking about being compared to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his definition of righteousness. This, if you have the Lord at hand, it seems rather silly and a waste to not get the greatest benefit from that relationship as you can. If you got Christ your Savior, make good use of that relationship. You don't have to walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their own minds. You have the mind of Christ within you when you got saved. You have the Holy Spirit of God of the universe living in your heart to guide you. So why are you lost along the way? The light of the world is inside you, so why do we stumble in the dark? Make good use of the fact that you're saved. We need to be firmly planted in our relationship with the Lord. Verse 7, it says, rooted and built up in him. Rooted and built up in him. That word rooted there means grounded. It means stable. You know, sometimes we get a lot of rain, and then we get a lot of wind, and it pushes out trees. And then you find out this tree didn't have hardly any roots on it. You know, it was just like, man, that great big tree, but there's a tiny little bit of root. There's no real root there to hold it up. Well, the word root means it's almost like you've anchored yourself into the ground. You're not moving. So a good root system. You have a good root, you're going to grow better. You know, that's why they use, potting soil and all those kind of things for flowers. You know, you don't go out and plant flowers and expect a great plant to grow in Dover clay. You got to do something with the Dover clay so that the roots can get down in there and get a hold of the ground and really get the nourishment. And so we got to be rooted and grounded, stable, not easily blown away. We're going to adhere to it in order to find the nourishment. We need to be rooted and grounded in the things of God, grabbing a hold of the source of life. And then it says, built up, not just rooted, but growing and producing fruit. He says, listen, he says, you need to be, therefore receive Christ Jesus Lord, so walk ye in him. How? Rooted and built up in him. A lot of folks they're not rooted in him. The wind comes along there and they're like a tumbleweed. Hardly any root at all, and the wind blows them, all of a sudden there we go, blowing down, tumbling tumbleweed. The old songs that the old country guys used to sing, the old cowboys. You see these tumbleweeds going around. And then he says, established in the faith. That means firm. It means to have been confirmed, so to speak, steadfast and sure, no longer wavering and tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Established in the faith. You've got Jesus. Now make good use of the fact that you have Christ as your Savior. We don't have to be tossed about by all the stuff that's going on in the world. It's established, firm in the faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. But also faith also to walk by faith through our days on the earth. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He supplies our every need. He's our rock and our high tower and our shield and our buckler. He's closer than a friend. My wonderful counselor, my eternal Father, my almighty God, and my Prince of Peace. He said, we're abounding therein with thanksgiving. Just be grateful you have the truth, and so live by it. Take the gift and enjoy it, and no questions asked or needed. We don't make good use of our relationship with Christ like we could sometimes. Number two, don't allow your relationship with the Lord to be stolen from you. Don't allow anyone to talk you out of living for the Lord and experiencing the blessing of God. I think that's what happens so often. You get all gung-ho, you want to see God do something in your life, and then you get some folks who scorn you, laugh at you, kind of cast doubt on what you're doing. The old world and the flesh and then even the devil wants us to fail. And so they are doing all they can to stop you from walking in Him and having the blessings of God in your life. You would think it would be easy to just stay firm in the faith, to be rooted and grounded and also build up in the truth of God. However, this is a constant uphill battle that goes against our natural fleshly inclinations. Now, the devil knows your inclinations and your weaknesses and will capitalize on it so you stop abounding in your walk with the Lord. He wants to keep you and your Savior as far away from each other as possible so you don't reap the blessings. Look at verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know what he's saying? Beware. Keep a close eye out, lest any man should spoil you. You know what it means to spoil a city? Means to take that which is rightfully theirs. To take what's rightfully theirs. When you have Christ as your Savior, there's blessings that are rightfully yours. We're saying they don't necessarily take them, they talk us into giving them up. Oh, that's no way to live. You can't live by faith, that's crazy. Through philosophy and vain deceit. The world's going to tell you what it thinks is true. And of course, it doesn't agree with the Word of God. And so the philosophy is the musings of those who like to think of themselves as wise. And vain deceit, it means worthless delusions, the thoughts of men which are no more than empty falsehoods. After the tradition of men, the credibility they have is the fact that generations have been believing and propagating the same lies for many years after the tradition. And so they just fall in line with the rudiments of the world. They just fall in line and march to that same drummer. And don't understand why you don't want to march by the same drummer too. They abound in His blessing by abounding in Him. It says, beware. I know an old country singer. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. Remember him? Keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. God is yours. And because He's yours, walk the line. You don't want to lose Him. Number three, we do not have the needs of the world to get truth. We don't need the world to get truth. We've got everything we need when we got Jesus Christ as our Savior. Look at verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You know, I really do not need to abound in anything else as long as I'm abounding in Christ. All of God is in Jesus. All of the world is subject to Jesus. And so all I need is Jesus. If you abound in Jesus, you will abound in the blessing of the Lord. That brings us to our second passage in Proverbs 28. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Kind of interesting how he says that. A man who lives in such a way that he doesn't care about who he hurts and harms shall dig himself into a hole. And if he's going to be that way, well, this, let him be that way. Don't stay him. Don't get hooked up in his dealings and his ways and end up in a pit with him. It's sad, but don't be so foolish as to follow him into the pit with him. You keep doing right and you will stay out of the pit and be saved from the pit of life, all the pitfalls in life. Verse 18, whoso walketh upright shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. If you stop following the Lord and you are go out into the world and follow the world, you will find yourself in the pit before you know it. You may have not even noticed you were that close to the pit that you could even fall in. But if you sow the right things in your life, you will reap plenty of the right things in your life. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. He that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. So if you go off in the wrong things, you'll have plenty of the wrong things in your life. Just do right and keep doing right according to the word of God, and the Lord will bless you more than you can ever imagine. He says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. There's a lot of folks who think that if I get enough money, I'll be happy. And sometimes they'll do all kinds of things to get it. But the Bible says, if we do all kinds of things, we will find ourselves. Timothy says, they that will be rich fall into temptation, a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of evil, which shall coveted after that they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Who are you faithful to? The world and its philosophies and lies and the people who have fallen for its lies? Or are you faithful to the Lord and his truth and his ways? If you sow to the world, you're going to reap to the world. If you sow to the Lord, you're going to reap to the Lord. You reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow. And if you abound in sowing, you will abound in reaping. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, abound in the things of the Lord, and you will abound with the blessings of the Lord. Believe it or not, I'm done. Abound in the blessings. Abound in the Lord and you'll abound in the blessings. If you don't abound in the Lord, you won't be seeing the blessings.